With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, well, let's just get into it. Oregon and Stanford, it's game day. It's the primetime ABC matchup. How are we feeling about the Ducks versus Stanford?
I tell you what, this is the best game of the weekend, and normally I could pick a clear side in a game, and or if when in doubt, I go to my power ratings, but I do nine sets of power ratings. Five of them pick Stanford to win the game. Four of them pick the Ducks. I think Stanford's a slightly better team, talent-wise. I love their linebacking core, but with the Ducks, they're at home in Autzen Stadium. They haven't really been tested. Stanford has had a couple of big games under their belt against both San Diego State and USC where they were impressive. Bryce Love, not 100%. I rate the game a pure toss-up in this one. And like I said, power rating-wise, five of my sets call for Stanford, four for Oregon to win the game. Great game to watch.
What is it about Stanford that I guess jumps off the page at you? And when you look at them, that if Stanford is to win this game, the matchups that they have the big advantages in over Oregon?
I think the areas where Stanford's strength is first of all, the linebacking core. It's one of the best linebacking cores in the entire country. They do have one of the best head coaches in the entire country in David Shaw. And the offensive line, which hasn't been as dominating as I thought it would be so far in the year, is an outstanding group, and they've got Bryce Love in the backfield. So I think he had all those factors up, and that's why Stanford's a slight favorite for the game.
We're talking with Phil Steele, the college football guru. He's on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. I'll kind of flip that then for the strengths of Stanford. What concerns you from the Oregon perspective going into this matchup?
I would have to say coming into it, when you look at the Ducks this year, they're strong in most areas. I mean, they're a team that when you looked at them at the start of the year, they rank in my top units in all seven of the offense and defense categories. Special teams might be a little bit of a question mark, and I think that's where Stanford has a large advantage. The other one might be the receiving core of Oregon against a pretty good defensive secondary for Stanford, but I think talent-wise, they're there. Almost all the units rank in my top 20 in the front of the magazine.
Going up the road a little bit to Corvallis, Oregon State had a rough one last weekend, coming fighting back and losing 37-35 on that last-second missed field goal attempt. And now they come home and they open conference play against Arizona, a team who has been extremely underwhelming. And even at one point, I think at halftime, they were tied with Southern Utah this past weekend. So what did you see from the Beavs that you liked, and how do you think it translates to their conference opener against Arizona?
Yeah, just like I said last week, I like the running game for Oregon State. And, Jamar Jefferson is averaging 7.1 yards per carry. Pierce, I don't think, played last week, but 11.8 yards per carry. So, I mean, they've got a couple of good running backs. And they're just playing with some good passion. I mean, they were down 30-7 in Nevada. It looks like the game's lost. They managed to come back, and as you mentioned, kick a field goal at the end of the game. They win. They had a 183-yard edge at Nevada, which is very impressive, and put up 392 yards against Ohio State, so they can score. Now, with Arizona, I'm wondering a little bit about the philosophy, because they're trying to make Khalil Tate a pocket passer. He's only got 41 yards rushing all year, and that's probably the big reason they're struggling. Now, Tate's putting up some yards. I mean, last week he threw for 358 yards, but I still think that's the way to defend him. Go ahead and take away his running game and force him to throw the ball to beat you. And if that's the case, I think Oregon State definitely has a puncher's chance here. I think the spread in Vegas is Arizona about a touchdown favorite for this one. I would take the points with the home dog. I'm impressed with the scrappiness of the Beavers last week. I like the way they fought against Ohio State. Ohio State needed three late touchdowns to turn that thing into a blowout. It was pretty much a decent game in the third quarter, at least a lot closer than I thought it would be. So I think this is a pretty scrappy Oregon State team.
It's our weekly conversation with the college football guru, Phil Steele, the Phil Steele Preview Magazine. You can catch him on Twitter, at PhilSteele042 and ESPN.com. Staying within the conference in the Pac-12, USC, national game at Texas, and they just get absolutely destroyed. What do we make of where USC currently sits right now?
1-2 is not where they want to be, but I am not throwing in the towel on USC this season. You go back to the Stanford game, actually had a 20-13 first down edge there. I know in the Texas game it was 14-3 USC. I had folks tweeting at me that, hey, you're way off on Texas. They're horrible. USC's crushing them, and USC was. And as it was, you know, they had the block field goal for the touchdown. There was a couple of big plays at the end where Texas got the score out to 37-14. But I really don't feel that Texas was 23 points better than USC. In fact, in that game, only outgained them by 77 yards. Now, USC is much more battle-tested. They took on an underrated UNLV team. Stanford and Texas just has two excellent defenses on the road, and they finally are at home. They're at home against a Washington State team that's played, let's face it, three cream puffs so far. You know, the Wyoming game for Washington State, their only road game, they trailed that one 16-13 at the half and then got some big scores late to turn it into a 22-point blowout. But that was a lot closer than that, and I think USC is going to play their best game of the season this week against Washington State. They're playing with legitimate revenge. They get the game at home. I like USC to finally look good this week and beat Washington State by more than a touchdown.
Wow, wow. There was one game that I think we all had circled just for the playoff implications and wondering, you know, what one of the opponents would, what one of the teams would look like. That was Auburn and LSU, and I think that was a big surprise to a lot of folks, the fact that LSU went in there and won. What did you learn about each team? Are you buying LSU at this point? And what does that loss mean for Auburn the rest of the way?
Well, the loss was huge for Auburn. They needed to pull out an upset at one of their two final three games of the year when they travel to face Georgia between the hedges and travel to face Alabama. I think that they're going to probably definitely lose both those games. They still are struggling to get that run game going. You know, last year when Kerryon Johnson wasn't in the lineup, they couldn't really run the ball that well. Last week, 130 yards against LSU, against Washington, just 3.3 yards per carry. And that's a big part of the offense. I still think Auburn's one of the better teams in the country. In fact, if they played that game again this weekend, I'd probably favor Auburn by a touchdown. I feel they're the better team, but LSU, you got to hand it to them. They went in and beat Miami away from home. They beat Auburn. Joe Burrow's been underwhelming, hasn't even completed 50% of his passes in any game, but he's led the victories, and that's what matters. You have to be impressed with LSU's defense. LSU's got a tough slate. I mean, they have to play Texas A&M on the road. They have to play Alabama, Georgia at home. Still some tough games left, but very impressed with what Ed Orgeron's able to do. And I would pretty much think with Auburn's remaining schedule, you can count them out as a title contender.
Phil Steele is our guest. You can find him on Twitter at PhilSteele042. Okay, so you mentioned LSU there. Is there another program that you look within college football that a lot of people are talking about and liking that you're not so hot on outside of LSU?
Well, LSU is definitely one. I would have to say maybe number 13, Virginia Tech, right at the top. Now, VT played a very impressive opening game, but it came against Florida State. And Florida State has proven in the next 2 weeks that they're a pretty an offense that's still trying to develop itself. In fact, Florida State had 240 yards offense in the first half against Virginia Tech and nothing since then. So I think VT's way up there after that opening game performance, but and they could very well get to 5-0, but then you look at the rest of their schedule. They got Notre Dame on there, Boston College, Miami of Florida, a couple of tough road games. I wouldn't put VT at number 13 at the end of the year.
You know, we're pretty sensitive out here on the West Coast, people making fun of the Pac-12 and saying the conference sucks, and they had a bad bowl season last year, and we all acknowledge that. And they had three Pac-12 teams that lost to Mountain West squads this weekend. But I will ask you, who had the worst weekend, the Big Ten or the Pac-12?
Oh, clearly a Big Ten. A Big Ten was a disaster. In fact, you know, coming in, they only played, I think, four teams from the Power Five conferences, yet had seven losses. And, you know, even then, Ohio State wasn't that impressive against TCU. Yeah, they won by, 12 points, but they had a blocked punt. They had two defensive touchdowns, and they gave up 511 yards again. So I would pretty much paint it as a disastrous week for the Big Ten this past week. And I tell you what, at the start of the year in my magazine, I had them contending with the SEC for the best conference. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Not ideal for Arizona State last weekend against San Diego State, as now they go into Washington. They're a huge underdog in Seattle. The Herm train had to make a stop last week, and then everybody's kind of getting off now. How do you feel about Arizona State's chances at UW, and how big a game this is?
I think it's a big game for Arizona State. I don't know if Washington gets all fired up for this, but I like Washington to win this one. You know, I'm watching the Arizona State game last week. It's 14-7 Arizona State right before the half. They gave up that touchdown, and then I'm really surprised what happened in the second half. And at the end of the game, they did almost come back and tie it, but still a loss is a loss. And now they got to go on the road a second straight week. I like Washington's defense. I think Washington offensively is going to start getting into sync. And it's an Arizona State team that's playing its third big game in 3 weeks, mm-hmm. whereas I think Washington's pretty happy to be at home. So I like the Huskies to win this one comfortably.
We always love asking you at the end, Phil, just if you're sniffing any upset picks. You had a great streak last year of hitting a bunch of different winners. So anyone that you're circling right now in the weekend slate that might be an upset?
I'm going to go to the state of Texas for this one. TCU did impress me last week with their game against Ohio State. Gave a big effort, did end up losing by 12. Texas really came on in the second half last week against USC. They're a 3.5-point home dog here, and I like the situation. I think you're going to see Texas start playing with a lot more confidence in the second half of the year. I'm going to go with the Longhorns to upset a very good TCU team at home.
All right, there you go. Great stuff, Phil Steele. He is our weekly guest, the college football guru, the College Football Preview Magazine, and, of course, ESPN.com. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. He joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Thanks so much, Phil.
All right, have a good one, guys. Great talking football with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.